Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
So I want to ask you to warmly welcome up our friend, our brother, our church member, Pastor Sam Porche.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Right? But that's not always easy. I didn't mean to burst your bubble real quick, but that's not always easy. That's not always easy. And for me, this was a very trying week. It was a very stressful week. And as I was preparing this message, I was reading, oh, by the way, I just like to jump right in. So we going. So as I was preparing this message, right, I was reading about this college professor that had a group of college students, and she was teaching about stress management principles. And she held up a glass of water. And I thought it was going to be the typical question, the glass half empty, the glass half full. But she said to them, how heavy is this glass of water? And so the students started yelling out 8 pounds, 3 ounces, just yelling out all types of numbers. And she said, in her perspective, it wasn't about the weight of the glass, it was how long you held it. It all depends on how long you hold it, she said. If I hold this glass for a little while, it's light. It doesn't really do too much, right? If I hold it for a few hours, my arm will start to ache. If I try to hold this all day, my arm will become numb and paralyzed until I drop the glass and it breaks. The weight of the glass hasn't changed. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it feels. Your stresses in your life, your worries, and what you're going through right now at this moment is very much like this glass of water. Let me get my clicker because I'm really bad. Oh, there it is. I'm so sorry, you guys. It's very much like this glass of water. How long you hold on to it. How long you hold on to it. It's very much like this glass of water. So often in life, we hold on to things much longer than we should. So much in life, we hold on to things too tightly. We hold on to things that are out of our control. And when you hold on to it that long, the more you play it over in your mind, like that reoccurring playlist, it doesn't do too much damage in the beginning, right? But then you hold on to it a little bit longer, and your soul starts to ache. And depression creeps in. And anxiety creeps in. And you start to feel a darkness overcome you. And if you hold on to it longer than you should, you'll become paralyzed. You'll become numb. You'll become stagnant. And you will not be all that God has called you to be. I want to talk about how long, O Lord. And this message is really, really an important message. Because carrying things that are not necessary weigh us down. Oh, you didn't know that. Carrying things that are not necessary weigh us down. Carrying things that are not necessary slow us down. Carrying things that are not necessary gets in the way of what God wants to do in and through you. It's like heavy weights on your ankles. It's like carrying this backpack full of stuff. And sometimes we come into the church, right? And we lay that down right next to you in your seat. And as soon as service is over, you pick it back up. Because you've been used to carrying this weight, right? You've been used to carrying something that's slowing you down. And this abnormal lifestyle has become normalized. How long, oh Lord? And so, what would your life be like if you unpacked what you don't need? You ever go on a trip and you put all these clothes in your suitcase? And by the time you get home from the trip, I am very guilty of that. My wife packs very lightly. I'm the one with the big suitcase going crazy, can't figure out what I want to wear. But you ever come back home from a trip and you unpack that suitcase and you realize half the stuff you didn't need? What would your life be like if you unpacked what you didn't need? What would your life be like if you just put the glass down and trusted God in the dark? What would it be like? And I know it's not easy, right? I'm not trying to be really sarcastic here and make it seem like it's just so easy, right? Because God assured us he would never leave us, yet at times we cannot sense his presence. If we're being honest, it's God rules over all creation, yet evil oftentimes seems to have the upper hand. If we're being honest, God promises to guide us, yet there are moments when he seems to have left us. If we're being honest, God offers an abundant life, yet this life is frequently filled with pain. If we're being honest, how do we respond to these paradoxes of life? How do we respond to them? You could cover them up with a pasted-on smile, a hollow hallelujah. You could blame them on a lack of faith and try harder. You can silently slip away and become an alumnus of a church. But there is a better way, and that is to lay these paradoxes before God. And that's what Pastor Dave was just talking about, becoming renewed with God. Everyone experiences disappointment and sadness to some degree. Everybody in this room has a story. Everybody in this room has felt pain, has been hurt. Everybody in this room has dealt with some degree of disappointment. But what I want to talk about this morning is in Psalm 13, King David demonstrates what it means to trust God in tough times. In Psalm 13, 1 through 6, he says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me?" He said, "Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart? Every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn to answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, 'We have defeated him.' Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me, and I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." Anybody been there? Anybody has had some of those questions before the Lord? Or have you been too ashamed to take your honest part to the Lord? Anybody tried to fight this battle in their own strength? I've been guilty of that for a long time. And King David is saying in this psalm, "I'm giving you a blueprint on how you deal with the paradoxes of life." And I don't know about you, but I've always gotten in the way of what God has wanted to do. Because it's in our humanness, we just think that we can do it, right? And in our humanness, we'd rather go to somebody we can see than our God. Let me talk to my friend. Let me talk to this person. And we want to listen to every voice, sometimes even the enemy's voices. We listen to every voice but God's. Now, see, in this scripture, the nature of David's circumstances, I love this. The nature of David's circumstances are not described for us in terms of historical context. So we are not able to say, and I love this, we're not able to say he was speaking in this way or he was writing in this way because this or that was happening to him. We don't know what was happening, which actually makes it in some ways all the more beneficial for you and I. Because if we were able to say that it was because David was being chased, we'd have a reason, right? If we were able to say he was frightened by someone, then we could say, well, he was scared, he was being chased. But since he doesn't identify what the underlying issue is, we're just introduced to the fact that he was, if I would say, depressed. Because see, if it was being chased, you could say, well, I'm not being chased. If he was frightened, you could say, well, I'm not afraid of anything, or I haven't been frightened. But it doesn't tell us the historical context. All we know is that David was dealing with some depression. Things weren't going well. He was living with anxiety. And he was trying to come to terms with what it means, just like you and I, if we're honest, to trust God in the dark. How long may not have been one of your thoughts this morning, but here we find David with this recurring question. How long? How long? How long, God? How long? Four times have you ever been there? See, sometimes we just got to strip away the mask. And sometimes we just got to really get raw and just say, I'm hurting and I'm broken. God, how long? How long? How long? Four times. Have you ever been perplexed by the paradoxes of life? Have you ever felt fury in your soul? Ever looked at your life and wondered, where is God in all of this? Where is he? How long will my marriage? You fill in the blank. How long will my finances? You fill in the blank. How long will my children? Have you ever been in a place where singing God is so good, he's so good to me, was simply too simple a response? And see, I want to frame David's pain for you. Because see, David, just like many of us have been down this journey, felt forgotten. See, David felt forsaken. David felt sorrowful. David was subdued. King David was in a crisis. And a crisis is when you have way more questions than you have answers. Most of the time, it's not the crisis itself, right? It's really not the crisis itself. It's the psychological fatigue. It's the psychological fatigue, because psychologically you're saying, how long will I be in this condition? How long will I be in this situation? How long, how long, how long? And David's condition could be summarized with a couple of phrases. How long, Lord, will you forget me? How long will you forsake me? How long will you hide your face from me, Lord? He feels himself to be left out. He feels himself to be misplaced. He feels himself to be forgotten. And I know I'm speaking to each and every person in this room because all of us have felt that at some point in our walk. And you see, to be isolated from human relationship is without question crushing. But what David is talking about here is something far more significant. He's talking about the sense that he has of being isolated from God himself. And what becomes apparent to us, and what became apparent to me, that in this experience of depression and being in such a dark place, we discover that David's perception, as in you and I, our perception, will not necessarily be accurate. You got to get this morning. Because what he feels to be the case is not the case. But it doesn't alter the fact that he feels it to be the case. Can I say something this morning? Feelings are overrated. Feelings are overrated. I promise you they are. And can I say another thing to you? Feelings are a gauge, but they cannot be your guide. You can gauge how you feel. We are human. But you got to let the Holy Spirit guide you. We get in trouble when our feelings become our gauge and our guide, right? We say things that we don't want to say. We do things that we don't want to do. Feelings are overrated. I feel this way. I feel that way. What does God say? And who is going to be your guide in filtering how you feel? God's care for his children is like the sun. Even though the clouds may block it, even though the clouds can obscure the sun, it doesn't matter. The sun is still there. And the reality is David feels God has forsaken him, and what he discovers that he doesn't have all the pieces of the puzzle, like you and I. We don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. So he can't see the final picture in all its clarity. My Lord, you got it. You got to get this morning, because this is very, very important. We're talking about David's condition. He doesn't have all the pieces to the puzzle, right? And it's so important, right? Because we want to see so far down the road. We want all the T's crossed. We want all the I's dotted. But the Bible says, I am a lamp at your feet and a light to your path. Now, I don't know about you, but a path is not that far ahead. Because God says, I want you to trust me. We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. So what has happened to him is he's just playing this repetitive playlist over and over in his mind. Now I'm the type, my children and my wife laugh at me. I could play the same song over and over and over. I'm the type that can watch the same movie a dozen times. It's just ridiculous. And I don't know. That's just who I am. But that doesn't work when you're facing a hardship, right? You got to change your playlist. You cannot continue to repeat the same thoughts over and over, and you know that you cannot do anything about it. You got to change your playlist. So David is playing this playlist over and over in his mind. How long will this go on, Lord? And the longer he thinks about it, the longer he gives his mind to it, the greater possibility that he'll fall into self-pity. And pity, the root word for pity is a pit. He falls into self-pity, this pit of darkness, this pit of depression, this pit of anxiety, this pit of not having hope, this pit of a dark place where he sees that he has no value, he's not worthy of everything, and he's also saying, God, I don't know if I can trust you. That's what's happening to him. Look at me, Lord. Look at what's happened to me, God. Nobody remembers me, God. I don't believe you remember me, God. But God is saying this morning, he said it to David, and he's saying it to each and every one of us, put the glass down and trust him in the dark. David's condition reveals that things are not going very well. But watch this. In verse 3, David's condition led him to cry to God. He said, turn and answer me. He was upset. I don't think he said that really politely. That's just my interpretation. Turn to answer me, God. Restore the sparkle in my eyes or I will die. Now, I don't know about you, but when you think you're facing death, you're kind of desperate. He didn't say that nice to God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. David is crying to God, and it's important. But what I love about David is he's crying to God, but and it's important. Let me say this. It's important that you give voice to things. I know each and every one of us are unique, and we all come from different type of families. We've all been raised differently. But some of us, we've been raised to bury stuff. Come on, let's be honest. Some of us have been raised to bury stuff. We don't want to talk about things that are hard. I don't want to talk about things that are tough. I don't want to talk about those things because you know why? They're painful. They hurt. But that's where your freedom is. And so we like to bury stuff. We like to suppress it, right? But it's like a tea kettle. It's going to blow soon. You're going to hear that whistle. You just can't live that way. So David is saying here, I'm going to give voice to these things. And David knows this because in another psalm, he said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. So the cry is important. But what is more important is the one to whom he cries. David directs his cry to God. He said, consider and answer me, O Lord. And what is he crying? He's crying for consideration. Look at me. And that's many of us, right? We do that with our spouses, whoever we are really close to. Look at me. I want consideration. And David is saying, go to him. And so he's crying for consideration. And the most significant truth about the psalmist that teaches us is that David didn't close God out. He didn't crawl into a hole and throw this personal pity party for one. Yeah, it's very easy to do that. But David was like, no, I can't do that. He didn't rail against God to others about the injustice of life. He turned to God. So the complaint and cry of David, it was like an explosion. David was venting, but he vented to the right person, God. And guess what? He vented in the right way, honestly. And this is the first step in dealing with the paradoxes of life. You need to lay them before God. See, the key is not what the problem was, but what David did with the problem. He went to God with the problem. He honestly expressed his feelings about the problem. David cried out for God's consideration to his situation. And can I say to you this morning, it's okay to question God. It's okay to cry out to God. Many times I've been around families in the midst of a tragedy or a terrible loss and heard some well-meaning Christian whisper, we must not question God's will. Well, Moses did. Jeremiah did. Paul did. Jesus did. And David did. And so can we. See, God is big enough to accept your fury. My Lord, you got to get this morning. God is big enough to accept your fury. God is big enough to accept your feelings. Our relationship with God is just that, a relationship. And in relationships, we are supposed to speak honestly and openly to each other about how and what we are feeling. But you can't stay there. You can't stay there. Because see, David's cry gave way to praise in the final two verses. He said, he cried out to God. He shared his condition with God. Then he cried to God. And then it made way to praise. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Why? The problem wasn't solved. The pain wasn't taken away. There is no indication in the text that anything had changed in David's condition. Why then the change in David's attitude? His condition and cry had brought him into a dialogue with God, and in his dialogue with God, David remembered. See, when you have a dialogue with the Lord and the Holy Spirit gets involved, it has a way of reminding you of what God has already delivered you from. It has a way of reminding you of how God is still upholding you. It has a way of reminding you that things could be worse and God has not left you or forsaken you. And so David remembered some things that he had been in danger of forgetting. He remembered the unfailing love of God, which restored his trust. He remembered the salvation of God, which made him rejoice. He remembered the goodness of God, which gave him back a song. Because see, David was willing to take his complaint to God. He was able to remember again who God was. And when I say take your complaint to God, I'm talking about you're laying out on the floor, you're crying, your nose is running, and you're like, God, here I am, naked and unashamed. I need you, and I'm upset with you, and I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but nevertheless, let your will be done. I'm not talking about that fly-by or drive-by prayer. I'm talking about really interacting with God and being intimate with God and laying your feelings out across the floor, laying them out across, saying, God, here I am. And I don't like the way things are going. And I'm upset about my situation. And I don't like the condition I'm in. And I guarantee you the Lord will give you clarity, because what he will do is first show you your part in it. And then he will show you the part that he will handle that you can't control. David remembered. And remembrance of who God was inspired David to start to face life with hope again. This is volitional. This is not emotional. You and I need to bring our emotions underneath the jurisdiction of God's character and God's purpose. Because see, in our humanness, let's just be honest, right? For some of us, there is a perverse sense of satisfaction in feeling sorry for ourselves. For some of us, let's just be honest, the victim thing is kind of cool. It's okay. I've been carrying it for a long time. So I'm comfortable with that. But we have to change the playlist. We have to renew our minds. See, the renewing of your mind is actually what you think about all the time, what you meditate on. And some of us come to church and we come every Sunday and we say we love the Lord, and we truly do, but we haven't changed our playlist. And Monday through Saturday, when things happen, we go back to that old playlist and it immediately comes back. Or someone triggers us or says something, and we're immediately back on that playlist of pain, of hurt, of brokenness, of a self-pity party, of a place of darkness. And David is saying in this psalm, and God is saying to you this morning, put the glass down and trust me in the dark. And did you know that God is still God with the lights off? God is still God with the lights off. And our reaction, children of God, to despondency, discouragement, and disappointment is not to ask God to turn the lights back on, because he doesn't often turn the lights back on. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, I think about my children when they were young. You know, you put your kids to bed and they're just like, please don't turn the light off, Daddy. Don't turn the light off, Mom. And you're like, you're trying to get them used to what? The dark. And they're just like, no, no, no. So then they say, leave the bathroom light on. Okay, I'll leave the bathroom light on. And then you try to get them past that, and then there's the little night light. And what God is saying this morning, some of us here this morning, but oh, well, let me say this. If they become young adults or they're in high school, they still want the night light on or the lights on, something's not right, right? It's like, okay, what's going on here? Well, that's what God is saying to us this morning. Some of us are much further along the line. And we're like that high schooler or that young adult, and God is saying to you, put the glass down and trust me in the dark. You don't need that bathroom light on. You don't need that night light. He's saying, trust me in the dark. And so, and you got to realize, we didn't get saved just for ourselves. You are a witness. You are a part of a command, which is the Great Commission, to make disciples. You did not get saved just for me, myself, and I. Somebody is watching you, and you don't even know they are. Somebody is watching. You are a witness and an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And there are people who do not believe in the Bible. They don't understand that Jesus is the risen King. They look on and they say, I have to see it through you. And how we show them is in the experience of how we handle adversity. How we show them is in the experience of our own deep-seated despondency, disappointment, and discouragement. That we are able to still discover what God is teaching us. That we are able to still trust him, not with the lights on, but with the lights off, that will demonstrate a triumph that is ours because we are already victorious. I love reading the stories in the Bible where God came to rescue his people. But if we stop and think about it, every person in that story had to undergo great battles. You may feel like this morning you're in a battle that's breaking you down. But what if you're on the cusp of a breakthrough? What if you're just about to have a chain-breaking moment to experience true freedom, burdens being lifted like never before by the power of our living and loving God? I read once, when things fall apart, the broken pieces allow all sorts of things to enter, and one of them is the presence of God. In Japan, there's a beautiful way of dealing with broken pottery called kintsugi. It's repaired by filling in the cracks with gold. Instead of throwing it away, they actually create a more beautiful object. What if God is doing that right now in your life? Through your brokenness, through your pain, God is saying to you, son and daughter, it's okay if you're not okay. Put the glass down. Cast your cares on me. I will sustain you. See, the beauty of the gospel is that power comes via weakness. But that goes against everything we know. Because being weak and being vulnerable is a sign that means I am weak and I need help and people are going to take advantage of me and it's something wrong with me. But see, when you become a part of God's kingdom, you got to understand God's language. And God says strength comes via weakness. He says, when you're made weak, I'm made strong. And how I can be assured by this, because what appeared to be Jesus Christ's weakest moment, his crucifixion, was actually a moment of incomprehensible power. His death and resurrection released the power of salvation for all who believe in him. And so in this upside down kingdom of God, weakness is strength. May I say to you today that God is wanting to write a love story about you? Do you believe that? Through your storms, through your struggles, through your trials, God is with you in whatever you're facing. And the turmoil, the struggles, the anxious thoughts, the worries of life, God is there to offer you strength and help as he holds you in his hands. God wants to be involved with your life intimately and all the time. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. So Psalm 13 begins with despair, but it ends with joy. Psalm 13 began with a lament, but it ends in exaltation. Psalm 13 started like a dirge, but it ends in a celebration of life. The distress and despair, it slowly developed into a cry to the Lord, and that cry moved into consolation, where the forgetfulness of God is contrasted by the unfailing love of God, where pain and sorrow are comforted by a rejoicing heart, where death is defeated by salvation, when encouragement does not meet our need, there is a Savior. When friends and family do not ease the pain, there is a comforter. And when it seems like there's nothing that can heal a wounded heart, there is a God. Stop condemning yourself. Stop condemning yourself. Stop trying to figure out what you did wrong and why you got hurt. Stop it. You will be surprised how much you can bear with God helping you. You have to let God step in and take over in your life. You have to put the glass down and trust God in the dark. Stop holding this. It's too heavy. Stop holding this. You're starting to be hunched over. Stop holding this. It's putting too much pressure on the spiritual limbs in your body. It's putting too much pressure on your spiritual spine. Some of us can't even see straight because we're holding so much spiritually that we're walking like this. Put the glass down and trust God in the dark. He says we walk by faith, not by sight. He said he did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Do you believe that? But believing is only half the battle. Can you walk that out in your life? And the only time you will know that you can walk it out in your life is when you get squeezed. Because that's when you see what's really on the inside of you. The pressure that you're feeling is so much like this glass of water. It's not the size of the and the weight that matters. It's how long you're carrying it. God's promises are bigger than your problems. You got to get this morning. God's promises are bigger than your problems. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I'll give you rest. You say, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. You say, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't figure things out. God says, I'll direct your steps. You say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through Christ. You say, I'm not able. God says, I'm able. You say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. You say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. You say, I can't manage. God says, I'll supply your needs. You say, I'm afraid. God says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. I feel alone. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast your cares on me, put the glass down, and trust me in the dark. You are chosen. Can I tell you who you are? You are chosen. You are loved. You are free from condemnation. You have the mind of Christ and can do all things through Christ. You are a royal priesthood. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a new creation. You are free. You are valuable. You are more than enough. You are redeemed. You are precious to God. You are clothed with strength and dignity. And you are justified by faith. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be set apart. He does not want us to look like the world. He wants us to be identifiable to people that are in the world. He wants us to be the salt and the light. God wants us to be different. And how we become different is putting the glass down and trusting God in the dark and walking by faith, not by sight. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning for this word, Lord, of reminding us on trusting you completely. Yeah, we trust you, God, but some of us are only trusting you 25%, 50%, 75%. But God, you want all of us. So, Father, break us where we need to be broken. Break our hearts, God. You said in your word that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Oh, Father, we need you. We need to be reminded, God, that you are our God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, that there is nothing impossible for you. So, Father, we bring our hurts to you and our pain, and we bring our brokenness and we bring our struggles, and God, we want you to show us in all of this, that we may be free and that we may not be burdened down by this heaviness of life, God, that you would deliver us from things that may have happened to us when we were children, when we were young, that you may deliver us from generational curses, that you may deliver us from our own selves, God. Oh, God, break us, God. And we will give you all the honor and all the glory. All the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name. I just want to say a challenge to you is your past is a point of reference. Stop residing there. It is not your residence. And I challenge you to change your address this morning. I challenge you to change your playlist and really renew your mind. Change your thought pattern. Because the Lord wants us to be set apart, and we are the church. The Lord wants us to be the salt and the light. The Lord wants us to be making disciples. The Lord needs us to be his ambassadors. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to be his ambassadors right here on earth. Let him work in you and through you. Because we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be different. And I want you to listen to this song that the worship team is about to sing. And listen to these words, because we are supposed to be different. It's self-examination time. Are we different than the world? Because if we're not, then we cannot make the impact that Jesus wants us to make. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.